when we see something we love, it reflects something we love about ourselves. And we see something that bothers us, it reflects something that bothers us about ourselves. So if we want great friends, companions, I call them sticky souls. They're like those people who come into your circle and they just stick because they just feel right and they vibe at your level of vibration. If you want that, you have to be that.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Bridget Kearns. Bridget, how are you?
What's happening? Hey, Ben. I'm doing great, and everything is happening. I'm excited. Let's see where this goes.
Let's see where I said before, I didn't take a ton of notes because I wanted this to flow freely. One note I did take is your bio to introduce you to anyone who hasn't met Bridget yet. Bridget is the founder of Kearns Coaching. She finds purpose in achieving her clients' potential to restore their soul-centered wholeness. Prior to opening her coaching practice, Bridget spent over a decade as a teacher and small business owner. She, her partner, and four children live in Rochester, New York. And she's also the host of the Passionate Pursuits podcast, which I love. So, Bridget, I'm happy to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
One thing that stood out, soul-centered wholeness. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I like to call myself like an activator or a fire starter or an igniter. So that goes back to the idea that we all come here as a soul, as a whole being already. And I think sometimes what happens when we get into this very dense reality of human life is that sometimes our soul gets covered up by circumstances or by trauma or by, you know, whatever life throws at us. And we almost forget or lose that connection with our wholeness and who we really are. So my whole goal with Kearns Coaching, with my podcast, with really my life at this point is to do the work with people to help them activate their potential and return to that wholeness, which is the purpose of their soul for being here and being incarnated in this human life.
Mm. So this is going to open up, we could probably go for 5 hours. How do we open up that potential? Let's get microscopic. So let's say I feel disconnected and things just aren't going the way that I think they should be, or I've been following someone else's vision and I just feel like disconnected and lost. Where would you start? What would the first move we would make together?
That's a great question. Really, the most important first move is the person recognizing that there is a disconnect. Because in order to tackle something so large, this task that appears so large, you have to first understand that I have all of the wholeness within me already, but somewhere along the lines, I allowed things to happen or I covered up that connection that I have with my wholeness. So the most important first step is saying, oh my goodness, I'm not connected the way that I would like to be. And I need to seek out a way in which I can get reconnected. So really, It's such a fun thing to talk about for me because I'm such a small player in this reconnection process. It's like, I like to picture it as you are driving your car and your vehicle is your life and you're on this life highway. And all of a sudden you're driving down the highway and you go, oh my gosh. You ever have that moment where you're driving and you were on autopilot and then all of a sudden you sort of shift out of autopilot and you don't recognize where you are? And I've had this happen in real life, which is kind of freaky, but that happens in life in this metaphoric scenario as well, where you just for a second take yourself out of autopilot and you don't recognize where you are. Mm-hmm. And you know that you were going somewhere and you had a reason for getting on this highway in the first place, but now you're lost. So I'm that really fun person on the side of the road who's standing there and going, hi, I can help you. I would love to help you. But it ultimately has to be your choice whether or not you pick up that person on the side of the road. And that's that point where you say, okay, I know that I feel disconnected. I am recognizing the fact that somewhere I got lost. And I know that within me, I already have all the answers, but I need someone or something, the right question perhaps, or the right person who is going to shift me back. And that shift is the ignition, that shift is the activation that I speak of, is something that I have learned and I've done in my own life and in clients' lives. And there's no set formula. That's the beautiful thing.
Right.
It's a very intuitive process. I work very intuitively. So you pull over to the side of the road, you open up that rear door, you invite me into the vehicle, and then I get to sort of co-pilot with you, although I'm not. I'm not in control. I'm not making decisions. I don't have a steering wheel. I don't have a gas or brake pedal, but you've invited me to look at this landscape with you and start to question, what would happen if we pulled a U-ey and just went back to explore where you already came from? Or what would it look like if we just took this next exit and pulled over for a moment and reassessed? You get to ultimately decide what it is that you do. But now you've got someone who can help walk you through that process. And hopefully that made sense. But that is really what my role as a coach is.
A second set of eyes, a peer, a guide, a friend, a mentor to we have blind spots. And it's like, well, how did I get here? Well, was there, give us a time or as many as you'd like, whatever comes to mind, a time in your life where you're like, how the heck did I get here? What just happened?
Yeah, for sure. So I have a collaborative book coming out in about a month called Warrior Women, and I go into great detail about this story there. But my story comes from, I'm a mother of four, and my husband Alex and I were getting ready to have our fourth child, who was totally unexpected, but a huge blessing in our lives. And I knew that I had gotten very, very sick with my previous pregnancies. I had severe preeclampsia, which can basically cause organ shutdown in a lot of different areas of the body, just to put it really simply. So that was on the radar. I wasn't doing well. I was hospitalized toward the end of my pregnancy. And it was one of those scenarios where they're like, well, we're going to do as much as we can to get the baby ready. We're going to put you on some medications so we know you're not going to just have a stroke on us right now. And we're going to get this baby delivered as quickly as possible. And he had some issues related to the medications that they had to give me to keep me functioning. But ultimately, he did really, really well and quickly graduated out of any extra care that he was receiving. I, however, did not do so well. And I had some fluid on my lungs. I continued to have severe preeclampsia, which can or cannot go away after delivery, and mine did not. And I ultimately ended up in the emergency room of one of our local hospitals and was told that I was in heart failure. So I know that a lot of people can get to a point where they allow this disconnect to go on for so long that it manifests physically as very sometimes scary physical ailments within their body. And that was my case. I truly believe that it was not a bad thing. We judge things as good or bad. I don't think there really is such a thing. It's a circumstance. And it allowed me to, in that moment that I was told, you're in heart failure, I felt this incredible sense of connection, of peace, of love. And I remember even cracking a joke to my husband, who was sitting in the room at the time, about how grateful I was that we had life insurance. Which is just such an odd thing now that I think back on it. But I was in that moment, I was so held and so loved by God that nothing could break that connection that I was feeling. It was that peace that people talk about. I know people who have had near-death experiences or other things like that have also reported this sort of thing. It shifted everything in my life. It allowed me to go full stop and say, the path that I've chosen, I don't have to continue down. I don't feel that I'm on the right path. I feel like God and my soul are trying to get in touch with me and say, there's something else we have for you to do. You have a reason you came here, and what you're doing right now is not it. And it just allowed me to reevaluate that from a totally different perspective. This perspective of, if your life were to end today, how would that feel? And I could honestly say that wouldn't feel great, because I would feel like I didn't accomplish what I came here to accomplish. But at the same time, I now have this understanding that I am so deeply loved that that circumstance doesn't matter anymore. People's perspectives of me doesn't really matter anymore. So that shifted for me, and that was right before COVID hit, which was wonderful timing for me, because I just got to spend all this time journaling, listening to podcasts, absorbing wisdom, reading and reading and reading and reading. And really, I made it my full-time job to work on me and to get back in touch with who am I. So I've gone through this process, and I've had coaches and mentors who walked with me through it. And that equipped me to turn outward now and say, I'm ready to offer this to other people who find themselves in this situation, because there is a whole incredible life experience over on this side. And you don't have to go through that really scary, dark night or that near-death scenario to get back to this wholeness. So let me walk with you through that.
Yes. And wow, so you have this moment, you have like a mental shift, you have the feeling, but I believe you can't entirely shift your life without taking the actions to shift. I've ran into the scenario where I have a mental shift and then I just drown it with, you know, the things that I was drowning myself in the first place.
Yeah.
So you talked about reading and podcasting and doing the self work. What do you think was the number one thing that allowed you to take this a mental and emotional shift and actually change your life? Like, let's focus on one of those things, whether it's listening to podcasts or reading. What did you learn? Let's talk about just one of those.
Honestly, I have to say that the biggest one for me was connection with other people. I allowed people into my life in a way that I hadn't before. It's really hard to put a finger on it, because there's such a huge component here of the spiritual element of trusting and knowing that God was going to bring in the right connections, the right people, all of the right steps at the right time. And my job was just to follow those. So, you know, give me a cosmic breadcrumb and I'll take that next step, and then give me the next one and I'll take that step. But what ended up happening was I allowed people into my close community who I could trust with my story and with what was going on with me. And this real network of almost communion, like soul communion with people, started to happen. you can't fake this authentic connection that happens when you sort of strip away everything else and you just present yourself for who you are to someone else and allow them to either pick you up and receive you or say, no, thank you. That's not for me. Hmm. Those connections are so deep that that was the step I took that really, because in those relationships, I had people who said, have you considered this path? You'd be really good at this. Or have you talked to this person? You seem so aligned with them. And each one of those times that I let someone speak that into my life and received what they said and did something with it, that was like the next magical step. So, you know, you played a part in that when people said, hey, have you, you want to start a podcast? Have you talked to Ben? Ben's a great podcaster. He's local. Go talk to him. I had to take that and say, okay, I'm going to do that. So there's this level of courage, which is action in the presence of fear. Fear never goes away. We just learn how to act in its presence and we build our courage muscles that way. So there's a component and it's like faith as well. Like you can say this word faith. What really happens is I'm going to take something I now believe and I'm going to act on it. And that is going to be the next unlocking for me. Like, oh, I just did that thing that was really scary, but I did it. And here I am on the other side and I survived and mm-hmm. I'm better for it. And now I can take that next step. And they just snowball. It just snowballs as you honor those steps that get presented to you.
Yes. So it sounds like you might have already had a good supporting cast, whether or not you have these people in your corner already. Like, how do I find the right people? Because a lot of us, whether it's our work environment or our family environment, we might not currently be surrounded by the kind of people that are going to make us better. They might actually be making us a little bit better. Yeah. How do you, now they could be just right in front of you and they could already be a friend, but you tell me, like, how do I find those right people to help connect those dots and move forward?
A couple things that I found to be really helpful. The first one is by being the person who you want in your life. So people are ultimately a mirror to us, right? When we see something we love, it reflects something we love about ourselves. And we see something that bothers us, it reflects something that bothers us about ourselves. So if we want great friends, companions, I call them sticky souls. They're like those people who come into your circle and they just stick because they just feel right and they vibe at your level of vibration. If you want that, you have to be that. So being that and showing up for people in that way draws people to you who you're hoping, you know, it's just this amazing like circle that comes right back around. So that's the first one. And then the second one, I guess a more practical way for people who are like, I'm not sure about this spiritual stuff is what do you love? Do you love music? Go hang out around musicians. Do you love being outdoors? Go find a group to hike with. Do you love, I know these are all things I love, but find what you love, find what lights you up and brings you joy and go find some other people for whom it does the same.
Yeah. Just surrounding ourselves with people that have that similarity. And it sounds like by changing who you are, you're going to mirror yourself upon people and you're going to attract similar people. Is it the case that you could even, I know this is getting a little scientific-y, but like if I'm showing up a certain way, it's actually going to affect how someone else shows up in their presence around me. Is that correct?
Yeah, I like to not call it so much changing ourselves, but coming home to ourselves.
Ooh.
So it again is part of the process of reconnecting with who your soul is. And our soul doesn't necessarily have personality. The personality is part of the ego. It's a function of what happens when we become human. But connecting with that deep, deep seed of who we are at our core, and then bringing that out and honoring that does something really neat for people. They know when you're showing up that way. And I can't explain it. I really cannot explain it in any good scientific way, but you can tell when someone is showing up as their real deep self, and you will know, and it will, you'll feel it. It'll feel warm and welcoming. And then it gives permission to other people to show up in that way and to be vulnerable and to not be concerned about how you may or may not react to them. So, like you said, just to reiterate, it's not a changing, but a coming home. When you come home to yourself and you invite that self out, it invites all of these other souls out and brings them into the room with you.
So to add a little bit of an image here, talk about some of the sticky souls in your life. You can name them if you'd like to shout them out or just talk a little bit about them. But who are some of the sticky souls in your life and what makes them stand out? Like, how can you tell that they've already came home in a sense?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Funny things happen when I meet them. So for example, we are in the VIP network together, and there are a lot of people in that network, even though it's for business people, there are a lot of people who are just wonderful humans and who you want to be around. And something neat that happened is I was in a meeting with one of our fellow VIP networkers to talk about a business thing. And instead of talking business, we ended up spending an entire hour just talking about our spiritual journey with each other.
Huh.
And it was completely off the cuff. We just felt very comfortable. It was our first meeting. We had never met each other before. So it was our first virtual meeting, and we were supposed to talk business, and just something unlocked and shifted where I got some of his life story, he got some of my life story. And it's that recognition of like, I'm safe with this person. There's something that you cannot put a finger on. It's not tangible per se, but you know that you're safe with them and you know that your story is safe with them. So that's one example of a sticky soul. And then through those sorts of people, they connect you with other people in their network. And it's really like spiritual networking, Ben. It's so funny, but it is. I have this person who I think you would really connect with because the way you speak and the things you speak about, they're speaking about as well. Mm-hmm. Let me introduce you to them. And that's what has happened. I've just started collecting this neat web of people who are interconnected and who are interested in the same things and who are really seeking to serve humanity on a different level than what we've really seen before. And those are the kind of people I want to be around, you know?
Yes. Same. I'm humbly, there's multiple people in my life that are like, introduce me to anyone you want at any time. I'm tremendously busy, but I trust your judgment.
Yeah.
And when you can build a web of community of people that trust each other's judgments, and we talk about business, we talk about personal development. We haven't talked businessy stuff really, but realistically putting together that web of trustworthy advisors, sticky souls, people that you trust so you can make an introduction and the person receiving it doesn't even hesitate. They know that they can trust you. Yeah. What is that going to do for our business lives? Well, how has that helped you as a business person building this tribe, this community of great people? How has that been a benefit for you?
Yeah, because we're not meant to do life on our own. And each of us has areas of skills and strengths that we have to share and bring value in. But together we can accomplish so much more and we can make such an impact when we have this shared vision and mission. And it's just this, it doesn't even need to be overtly stated, but we know that we're all working towards the same goal or the same value. So when you have a group of people that you can do that with, the work becomes so much lighter. It's, my gosh, these are like, of course, you know, share the work and the work becomes lighter, but it's true. And it shows up, it shows up in so many different traditions and in so many different ways of saying it, but that's really what it comes down to. It's, I could never approach business from a very scaffolded businessy sort of of lens or background because I'm such a spiritual, empathic, intuitive type person. And that's okay. And that works really well for me. So that's the way that I approach it.
I love this. So it's funny because what's kind of rambling through my head is the work becomes lighter because there's more people contributing. Mm-hmm. At the same time, everyone becomes stronger. So our capacity is the group element. We raise each other's capacity and lighten the workload. So it's lighter, but higher capacity. So the amount you can accomplish is exponential.
Yeah.
Kind of mind-blowing when you look at it that way. So if anybody's listening and they're enjoying this, and this is not over right now, but I want to ask you, like, what is your big vision? What if people want to get on board, connect with you? You mentioned vision. What is your vision or mission right now? How can we support it?
Yeah, my ultimate mission is to get people back in touch with their soul calling. So what did you come here to do? We all have a purpose. And let's get you reoriented in your life towards working on that purpose. And it doesn't have to be your full-time job. It doesn't have to look the way that you would think. You know, when I say, oh, well, my purpose is this, then I have to readjust everything in my life to fit that. It can be so simple. It can be, I'm here to plant a tree each year in a space that needs more trees. That could be your purpose. And I am never going to judge what someone's purpose may be. But my goal is to see people living this fulfilled, flourishing, activated life when they remember that they came here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And that remembering just unlocks this joy. And it's like, it's such a steady, comforting joy. It's not these, like I said, it's not these big spikes of emotion. Like, I'm way up here. This is amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm on top of a mountain. And then the next day I'm like super down in the rut and depressed. It's this steady, I have a reason that I'm here. I'm fully loved and supported in every way, in every moment. And whether I am actively doing a ton of work in this moment towards my purpose, or I'm just connected to knowing that I'm here for a reason, you still feel that sense of peace in your life. So I want to see more people get to experience what that is like, really. That's my big goal.
Love it. And I'll support you. Tell me, so I transparently, I'm like a rational male perspective. So sometimes I wonder if I have intuition or not. So for anybody who wants to like do an activity, and it doesn't have to be like a super complex, you could just say sit in the sunshine as far as you me. What are some of these activities that can help ignite our soul and really, because maybe I'm an overthinker, but a lot of times I'm like, well, what is my soul? What does light me up? Yeah. Like I have these questions. What are some activities that can help us ignite this?
Sure. So I have a free resource on my website, actually. If you go to cornscoaching.com. You scroll down to the bottom. It's a workbook called Visualizing Your Potential. And I love it because it's sort of a stepping stone to this intuition. So it's not a full-blown, oh, I have to like go meditate and quiet my soul for an hour before I can drop into this. It's a real active activity that you can do. And what it comes down to really is just walking through these steps of picturing the you who you would love to be. That's really what it is. And it's actually an activity that I used during the time that I kind of turned inward and did my inner work. I created it for myself, and I don't know why it took me so long to get it out to other people, but really, I think I had to test it and know that it worked for me before I put it out for others to use. So that's there. You can go grab that. It's a free download. It'll come right to your email. And hopefully that resource is as helpful for others as it was for me. And the other thing I like to say is our intuition, when I say intuition or soul or empathetic or all of these words, it can show up differently for people. So pay attention to the things that make you happy. Pay attention to the things that you just naturally do each day when you have a free moment. Pay attention to things that you want in your space. all of those different cues, your wants, your needs, your desires, things that you enjoy, those are all big arrows pointing back at your yeah. soul and your purpose and things that fill you up.
I love this because, again, as I'm, it's just you and I talking, so I can only give my perspective. As a rational male, I'm thinking, like, actually write that, list those things.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not, I wouldn't just pay attention. I need to make a list. And then I presume a lot of people, I've been in this place, I don't even know what I like. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing like mm-hmm. the next thing in front of my nose. And I'm like, just like yeah. jumping all over I'm like a pinball, you know? but if you start writing down those things that make you joy, bring you joy, mm-hmm. or situations or people that seem to like suck the energy out of you, that'll provide in a way, a poll, like actual scientific data on, yeah. holy crap, every time I take a walk in the park, my day is so much better. Mm. And every time I hang out with blank, I actually feel like my energy has been sucked out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are there situations? So let me ask you the two ends of, like, what are some of the things that bring you the most joy? And then mm-hmm. what are some of the things that just feel like soul sucks? And this is not to prescribe this upon anybody else, but just to provide an example of some of the things that bring you joy versus soul sucks, so people can kind of see the continuum there.
Yeah, sure. So, oh my goodness, things that bring me joy. I'm a really simple person, actually. Mm. So I love being outdoors. I actually just love hearing nature, smelling, like when you walk outside, today was the first day like this year that I've smelled it, but you walk outside and you smell that spring smell, like this fresh air smell that says spring is coming. That yes. makes me so happy. I love to meditate. I need that quiet time to drop in and check in and just tune out. I love nature and I love plants. So my space is full of plants and crystals. Something that you will always notice about me is that I almost always show up wearing the same thing. So I will have a chambray shirt and black leggings. I do this intentionally. I have come to love this about myself. I do such intuitive work. It's so emotionally and spiritually draining that it actually physically drains me as well. Right. I love it and it lights me up, but I have to take decisions out of my day that I can't make because I'll get decision fatigue. And then before I even start working with a client, I'll already be exhausted. Mm-hmm. So I wear the same thing because it's comfortable and because I know I like it. And also because I'm like that cartoon character. So when you see me out in public or you see me on a video or wherever I show up, I'm wearing the same thing. So you know it's me. But what else lights me up and makes me happy? I'm just
I just want to reflect. Yeah. That's amazing because you kind of touched on soul suck in a positive manner, that having too many decisions and having too much on our plate. And you and I on your podcast talked about spinning too many plates can be a suck in itself. That can be an energy drain. Mm-hmm. So something as simple as minimalizing your attire or creating an environment with plants or crystals that is comforting can not seem like that much, but make all the difference in the world, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So then when I have to do work, so right now I'm like a one woman show. So I do my editing, I do my social media, I do all of these things that I'm not necessarily super gifted in, but they're on my plate right now. Yeah. So I eat them. When I have to do like the social media work that takes me so long and that really does drain me, then I've got a comfortable space. I feel comfortable. I'm sitting with some sunshine on my face. So I find ways to make it more palatable, I suppose.
So I want a hard pivot because I want to talk about your podcast.
Sure.
And let's actually hard pivot in. This is, I feel like I learned this from Tim Ferriss. He'll tackle like seven topics in the course of like 3 minutes, like so many hard pivots. But first, you talked about it's on your plate and it's not necessarily your favorite thing, but you eat it anyways. You speak in a lot of like metaphors and similes, and I like that. Does that come from your background in teaching?
You could say that, but I think that my background in teaching actually comes from that element, which you touched on. One of my previous podcast guests does a lot with human design, which is like astrology on steroids. So it talks about our different energy centers and what's connected for us and our unique ways of showing up in the world. And my strongest connection in my whole chart is this line called the genius to freak line. And basically what it is people who have this gifting are able to take abstract concepts and present them in beautiful and digestible ways. And surprise to no one, I do this all the time without even thinking about it. I speak in metaphor, I speak in symbols, and everything actually, if you could hop in my brain, it would be really disorienting because everything in my life is symbolic. So I see everything, every interaction, everything in my space as a symbol for the greater truths of life. So I'm like a super spiritual being all the time. But yeah, that's just my natural way of operating. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll go into broadcast journalism because I can talk to people and connect with people. And then I thought, oh, maybe I should be an English teacher because, I mean, I can pick anything up and talk about symbolism and questioning and how to interact with the world. And then I had that shift of, no, that's not exactly what your path is supposed to be. However, this is a greater path that activates that strength even more.
That strength was always there. Who knows where you picked it? You can tell me if you know where you picked it up, but it's embedded in your design. And as you change these roles, that's just part of Bridget. So I know I'm putting you on the spot, so take your time if you need to. I want to talk about Bridgetisms. Do you have favorite symbols or favorite catchphrases or favorite, you know, just pretty ways to explain something complex and confusing? Do you currently have any Bridget? And if you don't have any Bridgetisms, I want us to create homework where we can put a few together. But does anything come to mind of your favorite kind of symbols or metaphors that mean something larger than itself?
Oh, man, there are some that have shown up over and over lately. So these are like the synchronicities in your life where whatever you want to call it, God, source, universe, just continually puts things in front of you over and over and over again. So one of them is this spider web. And I was told when I was younger, because I'm very, very tall and I have like these long, lean legs that get pointed out all the time. I guess it's a blessing. But I was called Spider as a kid because I was so lanky and like I have long arms and long legs. And I think it's so interesting because that has repeated itself. Now I get called the connector, the community connector, or the web builder. And it just, I don't know, I can't explain why that happens and why some of those things just reappear in our lives, but it's really what I feel like I do. I love to bring people together who can optimize one another and create something new and exciting and even better than they could on their own. So the spider web idea and sticky souls comes from that spider web idea of, when you get stuck in a spider web, it's sticky. And then you look around and you notice that when you pull on one part of the web, all the other parts of the web move as a result. So if we're all holding a part of the web and each of us is pulling the weight of our little area, all of us can create something beautiful. And spider webs, like, have you ever just looked at one and seen how incredibly intricate?
Amazing.
And you just look at this little being that created it and it's, you can't fathom, right? So that's one. That's one thing that just keeps coming up over and over. And yes, this cord here is from a group that I'm a part of. I'm in a business incubator, and one of our closing activities for our introductory session was to create a spider web with one another and point out each other's strengths as we pass the web to each other. I mean, mind blowing. Of course.
My mind's blown about how, like, you're owning your difference, who you are. People called you spider, and rather that being something that you victimize, you're like, heck yeah, I'm the spider. I'm the connector, the web of ideas. It's brilliant. I'm going to pivot to the podcast, but I want to be mindful. Do you have any other metaphors? Because I love that one. And if not, we'll come back to it another day.
There are so many, Ben, and they pop up right when they're supposed to.
I feel like I'm like asking a comedian to tell a joke is what I'm doing right now. Make me laugh. No.
Right?
It just kind of pops up based on what you're feeling is right in that moment, in that context.
Yeah. So, for example, you have a little seascape behind you over your shoulder.
Yeah.
And something that continually comes up in my life is the idea of water, beaches, the sea, oceans. And I love the story. Lauren Isley's The Star Thrower. It's a story about a man who was walking along the beach and throwing these starfish back into the water. And this visitor to the beach comes up to him and says, "What do you think you're doing? They beach themselves every morning. They're going to die. They're going to get eaten. What impact could you possibly have?" And he picks one up and he throws it back in the water and says, "Well, I had an impact on that one." And that stuck with me so strongly. That feels so aligned with my vision. If I can just connect with each person at the moment where they need connection and have a small impact, the ripple of that impact is beyond what I could ever fathom. So that's another one, the starfish and the sea star metaphor.
Yeah. And especially when we do it together, right? Mm. Like, yes, you can only have that one impact in that one moment, but what happens when you multiply that by your lifetime? And then what happens when you multiply it by all those other people's lifetimes and the community you get to build and your clients. Wow. So this is officially, I said hard pivot like four times. It's officially hard pivot because I wanted to ask you, why'd you start the podcast?
Sure. I had a vision to start a podcast for a long, long time. And it was always around this idea of, I see these people whose lives are so brilliant and who are so full of joy, and they're doing this thing, whatever it is, in service to the world in some way. So they've found a way to connect with their strengths and express them in a way that serves the world. And I just wanted so badly to get to talk to those people and say, how did you do that? How did you find your strengths? How did you reorient your life so that you were serving the world from those strengths? And most importantly, how do I get a little bit of that joy that I see like radiating out of your being just by you showing up in the room? And I actually, it's so funny because now that I think about it, I didn't start the podcast until that happened for me. Hmm. So I got to taste an experience of what it was like to reorient and pivot my life in response to my strengths and my soul's calling. And now I have a podcast where I get to talk to other people about how they do that. And that's like my deepest desire for humanity, is to see everyone get to experience that. So the podcast is just another extension of, let's have these people speak about what it is that they do, how it is that they do it, and light other people up so that they can do the same thing.
Mm. What have you learned through the process thus far? And you're somewhere in like the 30-some episode range, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And by the time this comes out, maybe it'll be around 40. But what have you learned thus far that's really stood out? And maybe even something that was a surprise.
Mm. Oh, man. So many lessons, Ben. I'm sure you know this.
Take your time.
Being a podcaster. I think one of my favorite things so far is that I now have a vehicle for providing value, not just for my listeners, but for the people who I invite to speak with me. So I get to ask people to come spend time with me and talk to me for, you know, 45 minutes, an hour. And I get to learn from these incredible humans. And I have a reason for approaching them and asking them. So now I don't have the barrier that I feel like I probably manufactured, because there's really no such thing. But now I can approach these people who I admire and whose work I really just want to be around and absorb, and ask them to come spend some time with me. And I have a way to provide them value in return. So I really love that. I'm a lifelong learner, and I would sit on the lap of wisdom and listen to her speak all day, every day, if that was what paid me. So this is kind of a way to get to do that.
And I like you, you aren't just bringing on the Brené Browns. Like, you're not in it just to bring on the biggest guests ever. You want, in essence, just ordinary, I shouldn't say ordinary, but they're extraordinary people in hiding. Like, they're just the person down the street. And I know from experience when I started podcasting, a lot of times we don't have those kind of conversations. And it's very fulfilling for someone to ask and be like, I want to learn more about you. You have something incredible going on. And there's people, marketers, this or that, big thought leaders that talk about this stuff on a daily basis. You're talking to extraordinary people just down the road from us on the street and bringing out their stories that are often untold. Is that a correct analysis? You tell me.
That's exactly what I was going for. I, and Ben, I can't, the words have been taken out of my mouth. I, if you could see my vision journal from at the beginning of the year, last year, the sentence I used to describe my podcast that I hadn't started yet was, I want to talk to ordinary people who are serving the world in extraordinary ways.
Love it.
It's exactly what I wrote. But my goal is to give a microphone and a stage to your ordinary or everyday people who really are doing something just incredible. And honestly, that's every single one of us. Every single human alive is doing something extraordinary, whether they recognize it or not. It could just be their most natural expression of the way that they show up in the world. And it takes someone to say, hey, you know, Erica, I see you going and doing a cold plunge every day in Lake Ontario. What's that all about? Why do you do that? Why did you start doing that? What does that do for you? And they're like, oh, it's just something I do. And I'm like, no, no, no. It's really cool. And I really want to know why. And then we get talking, and everyone has these wildly amazing stories that you would never guess. So that's the excitement of getting to talk to the, you know, quote unquote, ordinary people.
Yeah. You know, this is, it's, I can't get this out of my head. I feel like they're not ordinary at all. It's just seemingly ordinary.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's, it's the illusion of what we tell ourselves, which is, oh, it's just me. I'm just me. I'm just whatever. You're actually a spark of the divine that is alive on this earth. And you are literally simultaneously the most important person. This is the most important moment. What you're doing is the most important thing. And yet all of us are. So what can I do to help people recognize that deep, incredible importance and significance of their life?
Sometimes I got to pinch myself. So if you can pinch yourself right now, that means you're divine, right?
Yeah, that's darn right. Yeah.
And we're going to close with the rapid fire round. Based on our discussion today, is there any episodes from Passionate Pursuits? And don't shout out mine. I'm somewhere on there, but I'm boring. Is there any episodes that, if people want to dive deeper on some of these topics, that you'd recommend?
Oh my goodness.
All of them?
So the titles of the episodes are actually a very short quote from each of my guests. So if you scroll through those and you see a quote that really sticks out to you and you say, oh, that's really interesting, I wonder what that's all about, that's probably a cue that that would be a great episode for you. But I really just, man, I enjoy every single conversation I get to have. So I think they're all fantastic.
Where'd you get that idea of putting a quote as the title? I don't know if I've seen that. Did you mimic or did you come up with that? I think it's great.
No, it was a lot of things just happened naturally for me. And yeah. One of the things I love to do is ask really great questions that dive deep into people's souls and bring out this wisdom that has always existed there that they may not have even thought was there. Mm. So when they get talking and it just starts to click, I'm furiously writing. I take pages and pages of notes on everybody's interview, but there will be moments where they'll say something and I'll go, Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. And that usually ends up being the title of their episode.
Something sparks unexpectedly and then boom, mm-hmm. we've got a nugget of wisdom that's going to be the title. And I love that. So people can scroll through Passionate Pursuits. The link's in the show note. If a quote speaks to you, it sounds like that episode probably will speak to you as well. And I know I've loved all of them, so I can't vouch for every single episode, but every episode I've listened to has been great, especially the one I was on because I'm on it. So
hopefully at the time that this comes out, yours will be published. But you know what happens in podcasting is you get a backlog of like 5 or 6 episodes where you've got some furious editing work to do. And that's where I currently am, which is a great place to be.
Well, you and I will talk about this when we log off. Let's just release our episodes within the same 7 to 14 day period. Yeah. So people can binge and listen to them both. So we'll make that possible.
Sounds fantastic.
So the rapid fire round, short, sweet, fill in the blank. Some of them are easy. Some of them are more profound, but questions that the points don't matter. We're just going to spit them out and see where we go.
Wonderful.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Hazelnut coffee with a little bit of half and half.
Hazelnut with a little bit of half and half. We are both from New York, so that's context for international listeners or anywhere in the United States. Favorite season? Favorite time of year?
Oh, absolutely fall. It gets absolutely gorgeous here. The leaves change color. The sunsets and sunrises are vibrant, and it's just this wonderful, crisp air that you don't get at any other time of the year.
Love this. Okay, so you accomplish everything you dreamed of, and they decide they want to make a movie on Bridget's life. You get to choose. Who would you cast as Bridget in the story of your life?
Oh, good grief. I'm about the farthest removed person from Hollywood who you could get. So I would love it if you just walked up to a random stranger on the street and said, hey, do you want to be in a movie? Because that would probably be your most authentic portrayal of me.
Love that. I like that answer. We'll do one more bigger one here. What are you learning about right now? And why are you learning about this topic?
So I'm currently reading about the Hermetic principles. So that's what I'm reading right now. There's a lot of other things, but I love to go deep into spirituality, into other religious traditions, into mysticism, especially. I love mysticism. So that's probably what you'll usually find me consuming.
Cool. So Passionate Pursuits podcast. What's your website where we can reach you there?
Yes, quernscoaching.com.
Awesome. Warrior Women, when does that come out?
I just received back my final edits today, so we're in the middle of March, so it should be pretty soon here. I mean, however long it takes to get to press and then for me to have copies in hand.
Love it. And what else can we do to stay in your orbit, support you, kind of create these ripples, you know, strengthen the vision? What else can we do to help?
Yeah. So my favorite platform is really Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram and send me a DM. I am the one person who reads and responds to my DMs. And I really, really love it and get super excited when real people reach out and connect. So if you're a bot, please do not. But if you're a real person, please come on over, hop on into my DMs and send me a message so we can connect. I will excitedly and gladly jump on a 30-minute Zoom with pretty much anybody who wants to chat, because I really love connection and I love real people. And oh yeah, the podcast, go rate and review the podcast. It's so funny. It's become so much more difficult for people to submit ratings and reviews of podcasts on different players. So if you are able to do that, that's a huge help. It just gets the mission out to more people who can be positively impacted.
And if you do it on Apple, you'll see my name there, because I'm about to go do that myself.
Yay. Thank you.
Bridget, I'm happy I got to do Passionate Pursuits. I'm happy you got to do this show. And let's talk for a moment offline. We'll release them at a similar time so people can binge. And if you found us here, go check out Passionate Pursuits and the other way around. So, hey.
Yes, absolutely.
This is going to be fun. We'll continue the conversation. Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.